In chapter 10, now we'll probably go back and review some things, the time together, and then run over maybe through chapter 12 and get over to chapter 13. But I want you to notice something now. Today we left off right about here where the seventh angel sounded. This is really a mystifying thing. I mean a real mystifying thing. I don't guess there's anything that I know of in the book of Revelation that's more mystifying than from along about the 10th chapter over to the 13th chapter. It's really a mystifying thing. It's hard, very hard to understand what God is saying because God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And I'll tell you, when God hides something, he does a good job. It's like when he hid Elijah over there from Jezebel, he done such a good job for all that period of years, they couldn't even find him. And they looked, Ahab sent people throughout all the land, but they just couldn't find him. And when God hid this thing, he hid it so well that down through this ages, approximately 2,000 years, they've never been able to find out what it was. So the intellectuals and PhDs and everything that I've ever heard of or known about or ever seen, I've never understood it from any of them as of yet. Now, maybe somebody got it, maybe somebody wrote it, and I just didn't find it. But I've never been able to see it in the way that they tell it. Here in the seventh, the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Now, we'll start again here to try to pick up your minds with the first part of it. First of all, when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, when you're in the Spirit, that means you're in heaven. This is the one thing I want our people to get a hold of. When you are in the Spirit, you are in heaven. Now you might question that, but the Bible says about the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, there was a door that was open in heaven, and the voice that sounded like the voice of a trumpet said, John, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now there's one key right there to the book of Revelation that you've got to hold on to. Now, before you get over to the fourth chapter, that it could go either way. Because God was going to show things that was, that is, and was to come to John. But if you'll notice, when he called him up into heaven, he said, I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now, if John was seeing this about 96 A.D., which was after Titus had gone in 70 A.D. and destroyed the city, it was about 96 A.D. along in here when John went out. So, during the 90 A.D.s, he wrote this book, saw these visions during this period, and then after that, about 325 A.D. was when everything really went into darkness and they had their Nicene Council and Creed, and it's been many hundreds of years since that time coming over to where we're at now. But now, what I'm trying to say is if John, approximately 96 A.D. saw these things, then it was from that period on over to where we're at that these things were to take place because he said, I will show you things that shall be hereafter. Hereafter. From John's time. He said, John, you're going to prophesy before many nations, many kindreds, and many tongues. Now, many people. John, he saw the Lord. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said when he saw this man, he heard a voice behind him. He turned around, and the voice that spake with him, he said the image was standing in the middle of the golden candlesticks, had the seven stars in his hand. Now, he said that the seven candlesticks was the seven church ages. He said the seven stars were seven angels to the church ages, which was likened to Paul's pilgrimage. Paul had the revelation that would be given to the seven church ages because God used it in a symbol to the seven churches of Asia. When he spoke to John, he said, send this to the churches of Asia. Write it, put it in a book, send it to the churches of Asia. All right, now notice right here, there must have been an angel to each church age, or the Lord would not have said there were seven angels. Now, a lot of times we question that. We say, well, I don't know, maybe that's somebody's doctrine about being an angel in the church age and that kind of thing. I don't know whether there's any Bible for that or not. But the Bible says very plainly that Jesus stated that these are the seven angels that was to the church ages. So apparently there was an angel, and if I understand right, that had to be a message given to each church age. Because a messenger, or an angel is a messenger, and an angel, the Bible said he is a ministering spirit for us and to us who are the heirs of salvation. So it was told the children of Israel in the Old Testament, said, I'll send my angel before you, and he shall carry you into the land of Canaan. Said, don't grieve him. He'll go before your face. Don't grieve him. You remember how Joshua raised his sword and was fixing to fight with him. Didn't know he was an angel. Remember how Balaam grieved the angel, and the angel was fixing to destroy him. Now, like them horsemen I saw the other night riding through the elements, it's very little doubt in my mind that they got grieved. Because in the days of old time, the days of David, when Israel sinned against God, a great angel started sweeping through the heavens and a great plague started happening. Now, a lot of people say, Brother Pine, why isn't today like it was back there? Why come we don't just see the angel sweep through the heavens? My friend, people never saw the angel sweep through heaven. That man was a prophet and a seer. The people just saw the tornadoes and different things that happened. But David looked up about being a seer, and he saw what was taking place, that it was an angel. Just like those horsemen sweeping through the air. Nobody saw horsemen the other night, but there were horsemen sweeping through the air. There was something that was taking place. Now, every time that something happens in the earth, there's a reason for it. In the days of David, when a great thing started taking place, David went to inquire of the Lord. He said, why is this, Lord? And he said, it's because of the bloody house of Saul. For in the days of Saul, he mistreated somebody. And God said, there must be vengeance because of it. He said, take them sons of Saul out there and told him what to do with them. After that, the plague lifted. See? Now, there has to be some reason. Maybe America's mistreated Germany. Or maybe Germany's mistreated Japan or something. I don't know what. But see, there always is a reason for these things to take place. Now, here he stands in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He tells John, he said, John, write to the church of Ephesus. And he did. Write to the church of Smyrna. And he did. Write to the church of Pergamos. And he did. We should have them down somewhere. Write to the church of Thyatira, and he did. Write to the church of Sardis. Write to the church of Philadelphia, and write to the church of Laodicea. John wrote to every one of those churches just as the Lord told him to do. Now then, after that he'd written to them, the last letter, so to speak, or the last writings to the church, which was the Laodicean church, the whole situation changed. Then John heard a voice speaking to him and calling him up into heaven. When he got up into heaven, then the Bible said a throne was set in heaven. Now, he that sat upon the throne, the Bible said was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And round about the throne was a rainbow that was likened to an emerald. The Bible said around the throne was 24 elders. They were clothed in white, had golden crowns on their head, and in this throne there was around it 4 beasts. One was likened to a lion, one was likened to a calf, one was likened to a man, and one was likened to an eagle. Now then, according to the Bible, these beasts would say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And they'd worship him day and night, saying, "You're worthy to receive honor and power and glory." And when they would do this, the 24 elders would fall down on their face before the throne and throw their crowns down and say, "Thou art worthy to receive honor, O God, for thou wast, thou art, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us from all of the kindreds of the earth." They kept saying, "You're worthy to receive honor and power and glory, dominion. All things was made by thee. They are, and they were made for your pleasure." In other words, God, the world is here for one reason. It was just your pleasure to create. Mankind is here for one reason. You just had a desire to do it because it was your pleasure to do it. They said, "Lord, everything is for you." And then the Bible says that right out before this throne there was a sea of glass. It was like it was out there mingled with fire, but it was a beautiful sea of glass. It was out here before the throne. In front of this throne there were 7 lamps of fire that was in front of the throne that was burning. That's the 7 spirits of God. Now God isn't but one spirit. One spirit, many operations, Paul said. But I believe that those 7 lamps of fire was the 7 church ages. I believe that's what it was, because he said, "I'm in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks here." So when John caught up into heaven and saw it, I believe it was God with those 7 candlesticks, the 7 lamps of fire. We say 7 lamps of fire, we called it a lamp back there, but it was a candle. Now, I believe that that was the 7 church ages. Alright, then the Bible said that these trumpeteers came, which apparently must have had to do with those 7 angels or the stars. But here's what I want to point out. When Jesus got up there and he saw all of these beautiful things, then the Bible said that a voice spoke. And this voice that spoke, it said, "Come and see." Now remember, around this throne, there was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels that spoke out and praised God when these things would take place. Hear a voice. Now it doesn't say that it was a lion that announced the first seal. It just said the first beast. But we take it that it was a lion, because he said the first beast was like unto a lion. So when he said the first beast said, "Come and see," we feel like that was a lion. And on down the line, the second beast and so forth. He opened the seals. When the first seal was opened, we said this morning, that a white horse went forth with a rider on him that had a crown and had a bow, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The next one that was opened was the red horse that went forth with a great sword to take peace from the earth. The next one that was opened was a man, a black horse, a man sitting on it with a pair of balances in his hand, saying, "See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine, a measure bought for a penny," and so forth. We said this morning, "A measure of wheat for a penny. See, you hurt not the old wine." The next one that was open was the pale horse rider, and the pale horse, and he that sat upon him was death. Or that is to say that death and hell followed him. That makes me to know something about the fourth one. Death and hell followed him. So remember that. Put hell right along there. Death and hell, brother. A little arrow pointing up to it. The next one was open, was the souls on the altar saying, "How long, O God, The next one, that was, they was given white robes and said, a little while. They said, how long, O Lord, will it be before you avenge us, or our blood on them that dwell on the earth? He said, just a little while. He gave them white robes, said unto your brethren shall die even as you've died. All right, then the next one, the Bible said here, when the sixth seal was opened, the first thing that happened, there was a great earthquake. And then the Bible said the sun turned black as sackcloth of hair. Then it said the moon turned as it was blood. And then the heavens just separated like a scroll. And then the Bible said that men run for the rocks and the mountains and cried and said, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Fall on us, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand or abide? Because the day of his wrath has come. Alright? Now, in the next one, the seventh seal was opened. There was silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. Then there came an angel, and this angel came, and he had a golden censer in his hand. He came up before the golden altar that was before the throne. He had sweet-smelling incense. He offered this incense with the prayers of the saints. And the smoke of the incense went up, just like Aaron did in his office, when the prayers went up, which I said I believe had to do with the anointing and the grace of God, God accepting the prayers according to the anointing. You don't know what you should pray for, the Holy Ghost prays for you. Intercession to the King, groans and moans that can't be uttered. Searching the mind of the heart and spirit, he knoweth what you need. All right, now then, when this angel came up, he stood before the throne. After the censer was emptied out, he reached and got hot coals off of the altar, dropped them into the censer, and slung the censer down into the earth. The Bible said immediately there was lightnings and there was thunderings and there was earthquake when he threw it down into the earth. Now, after this, the Bible said seven angels with seven golden trumpets came and stood right before this throne. When they came and stood before the throne, they made ready to sound. The first angel gave his sound here. And the Bible said that when this first angel sounded, there was hail mingled with fire and blood that came down the earth, and it burned up a third part of the trees, a third part of the grass. The Bible said when this angel sounded, a third part was burned up of the green things. Now, when the second angel sounded, the Bible said that when this angel sounded, it was like a great mountain that was on fire that came hurling down. And then it said that a third part of the sea was made blood. A third part of the things that was in the sea, the Bible said, died. And a third part of the ships was destroyed. Now, when the third angel sounded, the Bible said that when this angel sounded, it was a great star, like it was on fire, that come hurling down out of the heavens. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. But it had a different job altogether. It fell on the rivers of waters and on the fountains of the waters. And the Bible said the waters became bitter. And a third part of men that drank this water died. Now, I don't know whether you followed me or not in what I'm saying here. But I believe. Now, you know people mean waters. How many of you know that? When you say a star, that means another messenger, an angel. Now you say, Brother Pike, now that's good theory, and you sound real cute in what you're saying. But I'm not saying that to be cute. It's the Bible. Now let's just go a little further before we comment on it and prove that it's the Bible. Alright, when the fourth angel sounded, we got three angels here that had sounded. When the fourth angel sounded, the Bible said that there came a star falling down out of heaven. Now notice it now. It said a star fell from heaven, and to him was given a key. Now what could a star do with a key? That's why I said when the wormwood star fell, that it had to be a satanic force. It had to be a fallen angel when it came down. Is that right? The star called wormwood. In other words, his name was wormwood because whatever he'd done, it made men bitter. It made men bitter, like over there in the days of Moses. When they disobeyed God, Moses ground that stuff up, put it in the water, and when he drank it, it was bitter. The Lord said, John said, eat the whole book. Said, because when you eat it, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your belly. And it does, because your belly's your God. That's what it really hurts, is that old fleshly man. That's what he was talking about. The word will kill out your old fleshly man. All of your labors for your belly. It's a bitter tail. It's a bitter pill, as we say, to swallow down in that it kills the flesh. All right, then, this thing caused men to be bitter. Whatever it was, it just poisoned the waters. Like the doctrines of today that we got, they're poison. They're poison. If men eat of them, Brother Jimmy, they die. Drink of them, they die. It's poison. Now, this star was called wormwood. All the fountains that were springing up. Now, you know what a fountain is, spiritually speaking. When the fountain, and this is spiritual, this is types and shadows, when the thing sprang up as a fountain, wherever there was a fountain of life springing up, then this thing happened, and they became bitter. Now remember, God does things naturally, physically, and spiritually. Is that right? A three-dimensional thing. Now, if you'll notice that this star, wormwood, hit the fountains of the waters and all rivers. Somebody said, what do you mean by rivers? The Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Now, I said, well, could that be physically? All right, just put it together as we go along and see, because we don't have time to go into all of it, but just to give a little continuity of what it is. All right, then the fourth one that sounded, the Bible said a third part of the sun, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars were smitten. The Bible teaches that when the sounding of the next trumpet came, now I want you to notice this, just before it sounded, there was an angel flying through heaven, and the angel said, woe, woe, woe to them that dwell on the earth by reason of the other three trumpets that are yet to sound. The Bible said a voice came forth from the golden altar with the four horns on it. And that voice said to this angel that sounded, said, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. And they were prepared for a day, an hour, and a year, so forth. These were prepared, and the Bible said the number of the horsemen that he saw in the vision here when this thing came about was 200,000 horsemen. Now, when he sounded, the Bible said that John looked in the vision, and he said he saw these that sat on the horsemen, and they had breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and said the horses, out of their mouth, it was like lions' heads, and out of their mouth came brimstone, and came smoke, and came fire, and said the sound of their wings was like many horses running to battle. Now, the sixth one was the 200,000, and this is where the mighty angel came in. In Revelation 10, it said in Revelation 10 that the mighty angel interfered right here at this particular place. The men repented not of their evils, though the plagues and all of these things that hit them, they didn't repent. They still worshiped devils and idols of gold and so forth. Now, the sixth angel had sounded, and the Bible said that this great horseman that came forth, it was in the vision, that John saw the number, and it was that great number of horsemen. And then the mighty angel interfered. Now there was more to the sounding of the sixth angel. There was more to it than that. But the angel, the Revelation 10, the angel, the mighty angel, interfered about this time. That's what I want to bring in. When this angel sounded, the sixth angel sounded, which was the second woe, then it was at this time that the angel Revelation 10 interfered, and the sixth angel wasn't complete with what was going to happen. This angel of Revelation 10, the Bible said that he came and he stood. It said that when he came, he had the rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun. His feet was like pillars of fire. And he had a little book in his hand. He came and he put one foot on the land. He put one foot on the sea. Lifted up his hand and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no longer. That's Revelation 10. You can read it. You have to search it out here and find it. But you can read it. Now, he cried, it says here, he cried with a loud voice. And then when he cried with a loud voice, then the seven thunders uttered their voices. The seven thunders uttered their voices. Now this is when he told John, said, John, come and get the little book. Had it in his hand. He said, take the little book and eat the entirety of the book. I want you to notice something here now. I believe this has to do with the church. He took the little book. He ate the little book. The angel swore that time would be no more. In the second verse, here, had the little book open. While he had the little book open, put his feet out like this, swore that time would be no longer. Alright? Now listen. It says that John, when he took the book, he ate the book. The thunders uttered their voice. First of all here, the thunders uttered their voice. And then it says here that John, when he took the book, then he ate the book. After that he'd eaten the book, said, you shall prophesy to many nations, people, kindreds, and tongues, and kings. Immediately after this, the Bible said there was given him a reed. Now, I want you to notice this. There was a little hold up between the sounding of the last trumpet. You find that it's 11:15. Before the angel sounds. Now in between this time, there are some more things to take place from the sounding of the sixth angel. This is the place where it gets complicated right here. That's why that I want to take my time with it and try to show you what I understand about it. Because this is where a lot of the dispute comes in between denominational powers and between doctrines. I believe that when he said, John, take the whole book, that it was now that the church could take the entirety of what God had. That is to say, that when this last angel sounded, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, it wasn't finished. Even when the sixth angel sounded, it still wasn't finished. All of the seals here being opened, the angel sounding, the mystery still wasn't finished. Because when the angel came of Revelation. He said, now eat the book. Said, for when the seventh angel sounds, then he said, the mysteries of God, or the mystery of God, it should be finished. In the voice, or in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now I want you to notice this. This was a prolonged statement. When this angel said that in the days of the voice, he wasn't speaking of it happening right then. He just had declared that time would be no longer, but he was speaking of a prolonged happening. That when the thunders ended or revealed themselves, or when the mystery of God was finished, that would be the end of the world. It was a prolonged statement. I believe I can prove that it was a prolonged statement. When he made the statement, that's why it gets so confusing. He said, swear the time would be no longer, saying that in the days of the voice, that's when time was to be no longer, in the days of the voice, at the sounding of the last trump. Paul said in Thessalonians, when the last trumpet sounds, then we shall be changed from mortality to immortality. This is the trumpet that he was talking about right here. The last trumpet was this trumpet right here. Just like the angel said when this trumpet sounds, then this will be the end. But now right in here, it's just as confusing as it can be unless you rightly divide the scriptures, and you can't possibly do it unless God shows you how. Notice now, after the sounding of the sixth angel, I want you to notice this, which was the second woe into the earth. It was right here that the angel told John, go and measure the temple, measure the people and the altars in the temple, but leave the outer courts out. Don't measure them. For it is given to the Gentiles to tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power, if you've got your Bibles, you can follow me. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they'll prophesy 42 months. Now here's where it gets confusing. The sixth angel sounded. Now he's talking about Jerusalem. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Alright, watch now. These are the two olive trees, he said, that standing before the God of all the earth, which goes back to Moses and Elijah. If any man will hurt them, he said, fire will come out of their mouth. Remember when Jesus was standing here, he was girded across here, his golden girdle across his pants. His head and his hair was white as wool. The Bible said feet like fine brass that burn in a furnace. Had the stars here, a garment down to his feet, and it was like the sun shine within his strength. Out of his mouth there went a two-edged sword, a flaming two-edged sword. It said concerning these two prophets that there will be a sword that will go out of their mouth. I want you to notice something here. In the two-edged sword here, in the opening of the seals back here, the Bible said that in heaven when John saw this throne, in the midst of them, just before the trumpeters, in the midst of them stood a lamb as though he had been slain, having seven heads, or seven horns, seven eyes, which was the spirits of God. That's when everything in heaven and in earth and under the earth cried out praise to him and him that sitteth upon the throne, saying, Thou art worthy to loose the seals. No man in heaven and earth was found worthy, but John cried much, looking for somebody, and finally the angel said, Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's prevailed to open the book. Loose the seals. For in this man or person's hand, which was the great eternal spirit, sitting on the throne, he had a book that was written inside and sealed on the back side. Remember, it was sealed on the back side with seven seals. After that, the golden altar, the censer, the fire of the earthquakes, and the sounding of the trumpets. The intervention of the angel of Revelation 10. The measuring of the court, the prophets coming, the two prophets coming. And it says here, and I want you to watch this now, because this is where you'll get confused if you don't watch it real close. The Gentiles in the 11th chapter were trodden underfoot. These have power to shut up heaven that rained not in the days of the prophecy, power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with a plague as often as they will. Now notice, now this is where you get confused right here, if you watch it real close now. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, so far, you haven't read where any beasts come out of the bottomless pit. And yet the Bible does speak of a beast coming out of the bottomless pit, which some believe to be Judas, coming out and Satan personifying himself in the beast. Because when he come out, John said he was. He's not. He shall be. Notice what he says about him here. Said when this beast comes up out of the bottomless pit, that he will make war with them, he'll overcome them and kill them, and their bodies will lay in the streets of the city that's called Sodom, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. But it said where also our Lord was crucified. So when you say spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, you're talking about Jerusalem, because Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. The tongues, peoples, and nations will let their bodies lay there for 3 days and a half, won't bury them or suffer them to be buried, rejoice over them and send gifts one to another because they tormented them with the message they had while they dwelt on the earth. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God enters into them and stood upon their feet, fear come upon them, a voice from heaven saying, Come up hither. At the same time, the Bible said there was a great earthquake took place and a tenth of the city fell. And in the earthquake was 7,000 people slain in it. All right, now, I want you to go to your Bibles for just a minute now, and let's find it here. Here's where you get mixed up on it. It says here, 7,000, the remnant was affrighted and gave glory to God in heaven. The second war is passed, behold, the third war comes quickly. Now then, notice something, children of God. If you'll notice and try to concentrate on what we're saying, you won't never again get mixed up on this. But if God doesn't reveal it to you, you'll never get it. I don't care if you study till you turn gray as a, well, they say gray as a possum. You won't never get it. It's got to be given to you because it's so close. You just read it and read it and read it and read it and still won't understand it. Now notice here, after this angel sounded, now notice this is still, he's still talking about the sounding of the sixth angel. And it sounds like every bit of what he's saying happened when the sixth angel sounded. Is that right? Because it says right here, the third war cometh quickly. See? The second war is past. And behold, the third war comes quickly. They were frightened, gave glory to God. The second war's passed. The third war comes quickly. But listen to it. The Bible said, and the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's why Paul said that when the last angel sound, the end of the world would come. Notice now, it said the seventh angel sounded. The voices from heaven said, now. Remember, the angel just had swear that time would be no longer. All of a sudden now, the seventh angel sounds. He said, in the voice of the voice of the seventh angel, time will be no longer, he said. So here, the angel sounds. The voices said, now the kingdoms of this world belongs to God. The four of the 20 elders fell down on their face, worshiped him, gave thanks, said the nations were angry, the wrath of God come, the dead should be judged, the time of the dead should be judged, time to give reward to the servants, to the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear the Lord, both great and small. The temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightning and voices and thunders and earthquakes and great hail. Now, that's a confusing part. Where was this? When did this happen? Where was it and when did it happen? This is where you've got to rightly divide the scripture. The very next chapter, and before we elaborate on it a little, I want to say something here. The very next chapter, which is the 12th chapter, said there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she was brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. Now, who was the man-child? It had to be the church. It had to be the sons of God. You say, Brother Pike, how can you prove that? Because in the fourth seal, when he opened the fourth seal right here, which was Thyatira, in the fourth seal, the opening of the fourth seal in Thyatira, he said, he that overcome, I will let him rule the nations with a rod of iron. I'll make him to be a ruler in my kingdom, and he'll rule the nation with a rod of iron. All right, now, what I'm trying to do is tie this together to where you can see where these things take place. Because it sounds like that this woman travailing up here, that this is taking place right after the sounding of the seventh trumpet. All right, listen. There was war in heaven. Satan was cast out of heaven. He was no longer in the spirit anymore. Now remember, he's in the spirit right now. He can work by faith because of grace. But now grace was over. He had no more strength. He had to do his work in a government on earth then. He went out into the earth. The Bible said when the dragon realized that he was cast out of heaven, out of spirit, and was now no longer a spirit, but was in the earth and had to work in humanity, that he was very rough. He'd lost all of his great standing. He can work by faith in the days of grace. But then when grace is over, then he can't. What happened here? Right here, he was cast out right there, and he lost his strength because as long as the Christians are in the earth, the man-child, the salt of the earth, the rain comes on the just and the unjust. God can't pluck up the evil, the tares, without giving the wheat. He can't water the wheat without watering the evil. But just the very minute that the man child goes up, which should be along here where he's raptured up, Brother Taylor, as quick as he goes up, no more grace in the earth. Satan cannot have a kingdom any longer because God can hit him just right there. When there's no grace in the earth, he goes out because his people will not be watered anymore. God's angry with him every day and waiting for the time when he gets his people out here to where he can turn all the powers of his judgment loose on Satan. Satan comes tumbling down. Lucifer can't hold the people any longer. Now, this answers to Calvary. That's what I want you to see. This reaches all the way over, if you had it down here, all the way over to Calvary, right here. All the way to Calvary. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. At Calvary, this thing took place. The man-child was raptured up at Calvary. Now, I want you to get this now. This is why it's confusing. The man-child was raptured up at Calvary. You say, Brother Pike, this is way after Calvary. This is 2,000 years over here. At Calvary, this thing took place. Are you following me? Satan went out. The man-child went up. The kingdoms of this world was made the kingdoms of God. The law and the prophets beyond Calvary, since that time the kingdom been preached. The only reason why it wasn't effective is because the people didn't have faith in it. It took 2,000 years for the ministry to tell them what had taken place that they might believe it and make that thing to come to pass. That's exactly why it happened like that. It was finished before the world ever was. In the foreknowledge of God, over here when John saw it, it was right after Calvary when he was seeing these things. Is that right? He did. There ain't no record, Brother Jim, before Calvary where any prophet ever seen anything like that. It was after that. Daniel saw some visions that tied in with it that we got on tape somewhere where we was teaching at. But right here after Calvary, this thing took place. But it couldn't be manifested until people believed it. Now that's why it's so confusing. That's why I say that in the sixth chapter, right here in the sixth chapter, or not the sixth chapter, in the sixth seal, when the sixth seal was opened and the scroll, heaven's departed as a scroll and the stars fell, it was the same thing that happened right here at the sounding of the last trumpet. It goes back to Calvary, the sixth seal does. It's identically the same thing. Every one of them is the same thing. They go right back to Calvary where everything took place. That's why that I say on this side of Calvary, there ain't nothing for God to do. It's something that the church has got to do. Jesus said it's finished here at Calvary. Everything was finished there at Calvary. Now the only thing is it's not effective until you have faith. The Bible said that Christ destroyed him that had power over death here at Calvary. But you don't overcome death till you believe it. That's why it's the last enemy to be conquered. It goes even for the people of the earth who don't have faith in it. It goes way out yonder over the millennium. And just as the celestial comes in, the dead, wicked dead comes up. Death still holds him in the grave until the celestial comes in. But for you and I, death is conquered. We've already passed from death unto life. I want you to notice this. All the way over to the celestial, this thing holds on. Now then, everyone that believes, the Bible said he's passed from death unto life. We are already passed from death unto life. We are already in heaven. We are already healed, perfected, glorified, justified, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We are already in heaven. Our work's finished. Somebody said, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, I am the works of God. You believe on me that him that the Father sent, the works was finished from the foundation of the world. It's a matter of faith. When we start believing in the finished works of Christ, believing in the power of Christ, he said, be strong in the power of my might. When our faith gets perfected, that's called the faith. When we don't know in part anymore, we won't believe in part anymore. When we believe, know as Christ, then we believe as Christ. And everything is finished. And real faith translates us. That is, we're already translated in our spirit, caught up the man-child, but I mean the earnest inheritance, the purchased possession, the redemption of the body. Right here is where it happened. But 2,000 years before we get the earnestness of our inheritance, which is the change image of the body, because we're so slothful in believing, and instantaneous translation in our spirit here at Calvary, over the sound of the last trumpet, and instantaneous transfiguration of our outer man, but between Calvary and the trumpet, about 2,000 years, a progressive transformation of our mind as we go through a wilderness, intellectual wilderness, God giving to us a little at a time until He can perfect the mind of God to get the faith of Christ by which we're sanctified. Satan came out, the man-child went up. Here Calvary manifested at the sound of the last trumpet. Already in the foreknowledge of God from the foundation of the world, the whole plan. Natural, physical, and spiritual. Right here, it happened. Now, what I'm trying to say, in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the angel, their son, in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, the world when he's standing in the sun, a crown of 12 stars on her head, her feet upon the moon, which I believe we brought out here one night and showed how the 12 stars was the teaching of the 12 apostles, the crown, and the sun was the Spirit of God, the anointing within her. We brought those things out here one night and can't get them to register just right. Right now, but we brought those things out and explained what they were. The standing on the law, the ordinance of the law, which was the moon, the Jewish foundation, the whole thing here. All right, now, notice something here. I want you to notice this. The red dragon. Now, we have taught this in symbols. I don't know how many of you remember this, but we've taught this about communists, the red dragon. America, the woman. See, they say, how can that be, Brother Pike? That's what I want you to see, because when I'm teaching these things, I perceive that you're confused. Now, I don't want you to be confused. God doesn't want you to be confused. So when I say that this has already happened, it means that from Calvary it took place, and that the red dragon and all of these things that Daniel spoke of in his vision was in the dark age, during the church ages. That's what the opening of the seals was. It was the revealing of the seven church ages, which is from Calvary over to the Laodicean age, coming to the sounding of the last trumpet where the man-child goes up. All of those things in the seals has to do with that. Now you say, how could that be? Because it's in the dark age, Daniel said that this horn exalted itself, we've got it on tape somewhere, magnified itself above the heavenly host and cast them down. That was in the dark age. When the Roman Catholic Church made itself God, cast the children of God down and trampled on them. That was a real thing taking place, and it signified in the spirit, evil spirits that would go down. That would be cast out. But he said he'd cast some of the heavenly hosts down where the dragon wrapped his tail around the stars and cast them down out of heaven. We showed them right here where one star fell from heaven, a wormwood. Another star fell from heaven that got the key to the bottomless pit. See, these things took place. Now, during the dark age, they took place, which means that the wilderness where the woman fled into was America. A place prepared for her. Said she fled from the face of the red dragon, which was that bloody massacre of the Roman Catholic Church, which is called communism now, just Satan working in another disguise, or has been used terms another mask. That's why he's called the Red Dragon, is because he has left a trail of blood ever since Abel, all the way down. He left a trail of blood. He's called the Red Dragon. Now in the physical realms, he works in your bloodstream, and blood corrupts. When you go to that dimension, it shows it again, that it's the killer, that blood kills. You take that out and make your quickening spirit, put spirit in, then you don't corrupt. Take it out, put embalming fluid in, you won't corrupt. Alright, now, but what I'm trying to say is that this thing took place at Calvary, come all the way down. Like when the eagle over here sounded, you can see a miracle in that. When the next one sounded, right here, well, you can see in the sounding of this next one here, that's all the people back there that the Catholic Church killed, and all those things that was killed right there. You can tell that's what it was, crying out over here after the slaughter and everything. Then coming into the next stage, crying out over here in a religious age, and he said, I'll give you white robes. Then you can see after the American age, the next thing that happened is the tribulation coming in where the stars fall and the heavens depart as a scroll. Right here. Is that right? Departing is a scroll, which is the coming of the Lord at the end of the American age. Then the next thing you see is the seventh one here, the sounding, where he turns back to the Jew, which has to do with the rest of the tribulation period. It's obvious that this 1, 2, 3 over here, now where it said the black horse here, you know that was a Catholic regime, the manpower back there, knowledge that ruled in the Catholic regime. Back here, you know that this red ox here was the slaughter of it when he killed the Jews and pounced on them, just like he did back there in the times of Titus when he came in, when they pounced on the Jews and they killed the Jews, just slaughtered them down. Always been God's ox. And then back here in the white horse, you can see a conquering age in the beginning of it where the church was all right, but Satan was still going forth even then. Now, the terms has been used that there was a lion sent out to combat him, an ox sent out to combat him, a man's intelligence sent out to combat him, and an eagle sent out to combat him each time that he came. All right, now, but notice this. A lot of things could be said about this. But that is the dimensional setting of it. The woman fled into the wilderness. Here the trumpet sounded, and these things took place. Now, you say, Brother Pike, does that mean there's not going to be a tribulation period? I'm trying to tell you, Christian friend, that the same thing that happened naturally from Egypt to Canaan, it happened from Calvary over to America. Naturally from Egypt over to Canaan, when the hot thunderbolts come down and rolled along the ground, the waters was turned to blood, and the children of Israel went out, and God hit the kingdom of Pharaoh. You know how it goes with all the plagues. Then the next thing was through the dark ages, which was the physical aspect of it. The next thing, it comes to the tribulation period, which is the spiritual aspect of it, over to the third dimensional setting of it. But I don't want you to get confused. Now, what I want you to see is this. Satan was cast out of heaven. He personified himself. And here's what was said. Now is come salvation, strength, and power to the church, or to the kingdom of God. That's why you don't have any right now. Satan is a breach in between your faith, accusing you. But when he casts down, there'll be great power in the church. Alright, that's the reason the Jews is going to do what they'll do. Notice this now, it'll be enough power to translate you when that happens. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That is faith in what Calvary was. Testifying to it. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now see, said everybody that's in the Spirit now, have a good time, he said. I'll give you joy for ashes. Have a good time, you that's in the Spirit now. Said, because he's out of the Spirit. He can't bother you no more. Said, he's out there in the intellectual mind. All he can do is bother them that's out there in the intellectual world. Said, you're all right now. Don't worry about it no more. See, now this has already happened to us at Calvary. Remember, he is not in our spirit. The kingdom of God is in our spirit to power, but we're waiting for the purchased possession, which is the sounding of the last trump. Are you following what I'm saying? Does it make sense? All right, now then, the purchased possession. The accuser went down. Rejoice, heavens. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. He knows he's got a short time. He knows he's whipped now. He knows he's defeated. Now he's going to be like a roaring lion moving through the earth, setting up his Antichrist system, tearing everything down that gets in the way. All right, notice this now. That's where the scriptures fulfill. He has a short time. When the dragon saw he was cast down the earth, he persecuted the woman. How did he persecute the woman? How did he do that? Now remember, this happened at Calvary. But now we're talking about a third dimensional setting of it too, as well, which is a tribulation period. How did he persecute the woman? I thought the woman was in heaven. So you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said the woman was in heaven, Satan was cast out. How can he persecute the woman if the woman's in heaven and he's cast out of heaven? It goes back to what I said, heaven is the spirit. See, they're still close enough together to where he can cause them trouble. The woman, he tried to persecute her. See, she's still in the same place where he can get at her, which means she's in the earth too, in there. When he came down, so is the woman recognized in the earth. Now, that goes back to the worldly church of today and so forth. And now listen just a minute right here. Persecuted the woman, it brought forth the man-child. But there was given to her two wings of an eagle. Now, don't that sound like America, the eagle age? She went into a wilderness. She is nourished for a time and times and half a time, which is 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth waters, that's people, floods, after the woman, every doctrine, every war, China, Germany, everything he could to overthrow America. He cast it out after. But the earth kept opening up, swallowing it up. One nation arise against another nation. Something would happen. God would always use something to slow it down. The dragon, which is in this day is typified by the communistic power in its last moving or its last stages or last mask through the Chinese people, cast out of his mouth, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of the seed. He saw that he couldn't do anything with her. He left off and has been nothing but walls and turmoils over yonder. That's in the second dimensional setting. Now, here is where it is straightened out again, if you can see it. All of that's confusing if you don't understand it. But in the 13th chapter, it's straightened out. Notice this now. I stood upon the sand of the seas. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. This is the same beast that Daniel saw in the second dimensional setting. Now here it comes into the third dimensional setting, which has to do after America. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads as he was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. They worshiped the beast. They worshiped the dragon that gave him power. The dragon being cast out then gave the beast power. The beast is human beings. They're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They'll come up into the head of the beast that'll come out of the bottomless pit that one time was, John said, in power back here, that went out, and he is not right now because he's in the bottomless pit. But when the bottomless pit is open, he'll come back up, and Satan will personify himself in him. The dragon will give power to this beast, which is the confederation of churches, as we know, the move of everyone that wandered after the beast, that did not come to Christ to get the seal in the forehead, said that these locusts would torment for 5 months all of them that did not have the seal in the forehead, which is the name Jesus, in your mind, faith in his name. They'll blaspheme the tabernacle, which you know is the people, the church. They'll blaspheme the name of God, which is Jesus. This beast come up will war against the church. Now I want you to see this spiritually. And we'll get on in just a few minutes. We're going to close. It won't be long now. I want you to see this. In the year of about 58, Brother Branham said the revival is over, according to what he understood. The Lord showed me, I didn't know that he made that statement until just a few days back, but the Lord showed me that when Protestantism went out, that light was gone. It had emerged into the Catholic Church, and now the third dimension, which was the holies of holies and types, was now the second dimension, which was the inner courts. And the third dimension had to project itself on into the millennium, the third power, where the righteous would live. They could no longer live here. They could live here as long as the Protestant age was here, but after that, no longer. The crossing over of Jordan. Because when the Catholics come, it's a wilderness again. They cross from the old country to America, the new world, coming over the sea like Jordan, over that death thing. Now when the second dimensional step of it comes, they have to cross over like Noah, got the ark built, the waters come down, they rise up over the tribulation period and come out in the millennium, the new earth, the old world goes out. They cross over Jordan, the span of death, which is typified by them going from earth to the moon, cross over the tribulation period, which is Jordan, into Canaan. They always have to go another step, and another step, and another step. When Satan rises up in the millennium, that earth will no longer be good for God. Long as he's bound, it won't be defiled. As quick as he rises up at the end of the millennium, you'll see it be swallowed up. It'll go back to that next dimension. Automatically, over the fire that comes down from heaven to divine, over will go again into the celestial world. This world will flee away into nothing. Always another dimension. Water, destroy one world. Fire, destroy another world. And then on and on and on. Now, the wrath of God at the end, which is spirit, destroying another world. But I want you to see something here. The beast comes up after that he's cast out. Now, right there, I'd probably get a little repercussion on that. But that's the way it is. This means after that he's cast out. Where was he cast out? We said Calvary to give you the second dimensional standing of it. But at the sounding of the last trumpet, when it's manifested, which goes into its third dimensional stage, he is cast out of heaven. That's when the beast comes up. Now let's look at this just a little bit in the Protestant age and get a type here. Will you bear with me a little longer if I do that? When the Protestant age went out in the year 60, the Catholic age come in, darkness coming in, light going out. Kennedy promised not to mention his religion, that's all he talked about. Never knew nothing about the Pope till he got in. The Pope's number is 666, Vicarius Filii Dei, you know that. Everybody wonder after the Catholic religion. It's the only thing that will fit bathing suits and lust and everything else and let it go. He don't care what church it is, it'll all go into the same thing. Now, as long as it's under his head, don't care what nation it is, you can be sovereign as long as you're under his head. 60. In the year of 1960, Kennedy came in. He went 3 years. He was smitten in the head. Said the beast head was wounded to death. But then the Bible said he was healed. Immediately, when Kennedy was hit in the head, killed in 63, they started the Ecumenical Council. It went on for 3 years more, and they finished the Ecumenical Council, and the whole thing came back into power again. It never did really go out of power. The thing was healed. Now, right at Brother Branham's death, when we said he'd come out of the desert and so forth, the prophecies of Daniel in one of the dimensional settings will fall right where Brother Branham went out. Christmas, the birth of a man child. That's why we say he died just before Christmas Day, basing on the mind of God. Holy Ghost showing you things to come. Brother Branham went out. I said the Pope of Rome would come to America. 66, Pope Paul the 666666, whatever it was. Said America now has a Pope. Johnson done obeisance to him. America went under the mark of the beast. Potentially speaking, it did. It turned Catholic. It ain't been nothing but a bunch of hippies ever since. A bunch of rock and roll and Beatles and demons and everything else. Ain't been nothing but covetous and money making and fighting and frolic. Ain't been nothing but that since. And notice now, when Brother Branham died, the man child being caught up, just before that, over the telephone system, the cross symbol, he raptured the people out of every church that they had set up that was following his ministry, right into the Branham Tabernacle through the medium of telephones systems. Raptured, caught up. What happened when the man child caught up, was caught up? Right here, when he was caught up, it tells how that there was this great turmoil in the earth. Everything began to go wrong. What happened? Martin Luther King and his people, everything began to be burned and ravished just like it was down in Egypt. Bombs blowing up. Everything began to happen. Is that right? But at the same time, the Bible said that Satan was cast out of heaven. Now, I'm not speaking against Martin Luther King. He was a man just like you are a man. But he followed a type and a shadow. He might have been a good man, but he followed a type and a shadow. He followed the type. Here you see Satan cast out of heaven. He was killed not too long after Brother Branham. That's why I believe the vision I saw of Brother Branham's death and the black casket had to do with him. Because one went up and one went out. You follow me? Alright, you say, how could that be, Brother Pike? When you say it was a symbol of Moses, and you said that the Negro was a symbol of the church, the Jew. Nobody ever gave Jesus trouble like the Jews. What killed Jesus and sent him to the cross? The law that Moses brought. Because the law was added because of transgression. You follow me? Now, when Daniel spoke of it, it said that these 10 kings that came up, right here was the 10 horns, which is on nations getting together in the type over there, or it really is the nations, the 10 in the physical realms, that was the commandments warned against Christ, killing. Said because these was good kings, but they gave their power to the beast, which means to the flesh, to bring condemnation, to kill, to make an end of the beast, which was sin, and Jesus being a type of sin, the very thing that he loved and came to fulfill is what killed him. We esteemed him smitten of the commandments of God. Really, Satan killed him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is this confusing? Great is the mystery of God, and as Paul said, we are made a steward of the mystery. Then the mystery of God will be finished. It'll be finished. All right, now, what I'm saying is, this dragon, now here's what I want you to see. He had power to make the beast image speak. That is authoritative power to let them say what they wanted to. If you don't do that, if you don't go his way, then he don't give you any rights. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't vote, you can't speak, you have no voice of authority. He's got the power to either give you a voice of authority or not give you a voice of authority. They, pardon me, the image of the beast, which is the flesh. All of them wandered after the lust of the flesh, which is the beast. Love the things of the world, that's what it means. All right, now watch right here. It said when this beast come up, and this is what I want you to get, because I'm going to elaborate a few minutes after this, and then we're going to close, because I had to get to this to be able to explain what we just said. All right, notice. It says here that power was given to him to continue 42 months. Now, is that right? It said the woman was in the wilderness how long? 42 months. Are you getting it now? It said that these two prophets prophesied how long? 42 months. Now you see, that's why it was confusing. It sounds like the woman is raptured up after that these two prophets have laid dead in the street, and then they're caught up. It sounds like John turned around and saw the man child being caught up after their death, the man was caught up. Is that right? But what John was saying here, when this trumpet sounded, he was speaking in a prolonged manner. He said that after their testimony, which was 42 months, then they were killed and caught up. Then he stopped and he took up where he left off. He had to go on and finish telling their entire life, which took you all the way through the tribulation period. And when he got all the way through the tribulation period, then when he come back to take up where he left off, it sounded like that what he said was way over here in the end of the tribulation period, when it was over here where he left off at. He just went back to what he was saying. Now you say, Brother Pike, you can't prove that. But I did just prove it. Because after that he'd said all these things, he said he saw the beast come up, didn't he? And said the beast was given power 42 months after he was cast down the earth. He come up out of the water, which means out of the people. And said then he was given power 42 months, which means that he could not possibly have been finished. It was just now starting. Now if it was just now starting, then that means that what he said about these prophets had to be placed over there at the end of the regime of the beast. Which means if that is true, then it means the woman had to go through the whole thing. Is that right? Well, if the woman had to go through it, the man child had to be caught up before it. You follow me? You understand what I'm saying? Had to be caught up before it because it said the woman had to go through it. The prophets had to be at the end of it when the beast was killed or destroyed. Because it said they prophesied 42 months. Now how many of you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's so confusing when you try to understand what John is saying in these chapters, and when that gets out of continuity, there ain't nothing else in the whole book of Revelation that'll make sense to you. Notice now, that's why that I draw this out, I had Brother Taylor to illustrate and to show you that the sounding of the last trumpet right here, the sounding of this trumpet had to do with the sixth seal. Are you following me? Notice the similarity of them. Are you following me what I'm saying? It has to do with the sixth seal. How could the heavens depart as a scroll? How could the wrath of God come? How could John see the church up in heaven when Paul said it wouldn't happen to the sounding of the last trump? And why is it that he says here at the sounding of the last trump that the kingdom of the world had become the kingdom of God? Because the sounding of the last trump, it reached all the way over to the end of the tribulation period. Just as the seventh seal had all the rest of tribulation, so did the seventh trump have all the rest of the vials and everything that was to come. That means that when the seventh trumpet sound, that the mysteries of God was to be finished in the days, which goes right through tribulation, in the days when the voice of the seventh angel was sounding, it was to be finished. There was no stopping to it until it came all the way Because the voice of the seventh trumpet brought in every one of these other things right here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There was no more trumpets to sound. It had to do it. There wasn't another trumpet to sound. Whatever he sounded here, it had to bring in the rest of it. Because the Bible said in the days of that voice that it would be finished. And it's obvious that it's not finished until the tribulation period is. You say, well, I believe it is. Well, tell me then, how could, now potentially speaking, it's finished, in that God said to John, eat the whole book. But now he also said, you'll prophesy to many nations. And all of this was a mystery through tribulation and had to be understood. That's why that I said that in the fourth, in the sixth seal, right here, the same thing in the sixth seal right here, where the catching up of was, same thing at Calvary, the catching up, the same thing here, that in the 19th chapter is the return of what was caught up. For in the 19th chapter, he comes back on a white horse, a vesture dipped in blood, called the Word of God, the armies of heaven with him. What was that? In the 19th chapter, it was the vision that Enoch seen. Is that right? Said, for I saw him coming with 10,000 saints to execute judgment upon them that was on the earth. Long before John ever saw it, the seventh man from Adam saw it.
Amen.
It was Jesus coming back in the 19th chapter, Brother Taylor, as a vesture dipped in blood, and the armies of heaven followed him. Who is the armies of heaven? It's you. Where he was caught up. For it said they followed him on white horses. You say, Brother Pike, you can't prove that. But I can prove it. Because the Bible said we are hid with Christ in God. Wherever he is, that's where we are. When he comes back, we'll come back with him. It didn't. Somebody said, but them was angels, Brother Pike. But it couldn't have been angels. I know we are as angels in heaven. We are angels, yes. But now it had to be more than that. But you say, how can you prove it? Turn over to the book of Jude. If you don't believe it, turn back here to the book of Jude and see what Jude had to say about it. All right, just take just a minute right here, because we ain't got but a little more here to comment on anyway. In the 14th verse of the book of Jude, I don't think it's but one chapter there. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his angels. Now Zell says, no, it don't say that, does it? That's why I said it wasn't angels. When he come back, it wasn't angels. It said the armies of heaven said with 10,000 of his saints I saw him come back. Is that right? Is that what it said, Brother Zell? You got it there? 10,000 of his saints. He came back. Now then the thing is, tell me one thing. If the saints of God had never been caught up, how could they come back? Now, like the Congregation of the Holiest Church says and the others, and they got some good people and some good teachings. But they say that the church don't go out till then because they say that's the first resurrection. Why is it called the first resurrection? Because it's one and the same. Just like it happened at Calvary, it wasn't manifested till here. When this was caught up here, same thing happened at Calvary. It was the resurrection at Calvary. Because the Bible said the saints got up out of the ground and walked around. That was the resurrection. When Jesus come back, he said, I am the resurrection. Any place that he comes is a resurrection. When he come back on the white horse, he said, this is the first resurrection, which means one thing. It meant that at that time, the mystery of God was finished. The Jewish church was now united with that which had been raptured up, which was a man-child. And God did not account the resurrection until then because the Jews is considered dead. And Bible said when God turned back to the Jew, that's the resurrection of the dead. That's why it's called the resurrection in the 19th chapter. Now, I'm going to have to close because there's so much to be said. But now here's what I want to tell you in trying to close. You see, in the sixth angel, when he sounded, when the sixth angel sounded and he kept talking about measuring the temple and all of these things and leaving the courts out, he was speaking of the tribulation coming in. That the tribulation would come in, said measure the courts. In other words, that's the saints. measure the inside of the temple, the saints, the altars, and the people. Measure them. That's the inner parts. Measure them. But so this Jewish part of it, leave it out now, because we're going to go through a tribulation period, 3.5 years. The Gentiles is going to travel it down. After that, I'm going to redeem them too, which brings the 19th chapter of Revelation in. Now, there's a lot that happens between the sounding of the trumpet and the 19th chapter of Revelation that we'll get to a little later. But what I want to impress on your mind was, see, when that angel sounded and this angel 10 came down, this great angel, he came down, he said, time will be no more. He was saying the mystery of God will be finished. He said, now just give me a little more time, is what the angel was saying. He said, you hear the sounding of this next woe. He said, just give me a little more time. And he said, and then when this sounds, in this little bit of time, when this sounds, he just waited a little bit longer, and he said, then the sounding of the seventh angel will finish it all up. All right, now then, in what I'm saying here is, the reason he made the statement concerning these prophets being killed was because he didn't want to confuse you and let you know the full extent, extensively speaking, the full extent of the proclamation that the angel was telling you, or what he had to say, that this, extensively speaking, was what was going to happen to the prophets during the 42 years, or 42 months. But at the same time, all of this other had to run adjacent with it. This on the woman had to run adjacent with the prophets for the 42 months. And then this beast that was coming up, it had to run adjacent to it, that all three of them had to run along together to bring you over to where the prophets were killed and then caught up. Does that make sense? I tell you what, if that don't make sense, I wish somebody would explain it to me. Because if that don't make sense, then I'm confused. All right, now, I appreciate your attention. I thank you for listening. There's a lot of things that I would like to say. As a matter of fact, one night, if the Lord will help me, I would like to run this right here. I'd like to run this right over here on the seal back to Matthew's 24 and bring out those stages again, just highlight those stages and prove to you that this is right, and also show you one more coming of the Lord. Now, there is a lot, Christian friend, that can be said on this and should be said. But I know that it would take a lot of strength to hold out. And I know to teach it. And I know that it would take a lot of endurance from you to listen to it. But I hope that what we have said is that it is enough to give you a continuity up to, we would say, Revelation 13. It'd be up to 13. I hope that it has given you a continuity of understanding. Now, if you can shoot holes in it, if you can find fault with it, if you can find anybody that can prove it wrong, I want you to come and tell me, because I want to know the truth. But if you don't, then I think that you ought to accept it, because I believe that's the way it is. According to what I understand, that's the way it is. As a matter of fact, out of all the years that I have ever tried to get the understanding of God, it's never made sense any other way. I can't get it to make sense no other way but that way. All right, now then, I believe there's a lot that I'd like to say about the finishing of the mystery, but we won't get into that. Let's just stand together. You asked me what that was to be called, Brother Taylor. These things, we've had three messages on these things in the last two or three nights. Actually, the topic should be the finished mystery.